What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new to the table, well, welcome. We are not an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We are three DMs who create stories, sessions, random things, you know, whatever to help you get through your sessions. We focus a little bit more on D&D, but we try to do everything that we can. What we do is we roll on a randomized themes and scenarios table determined by 2d20s, and this is just a great way to get your creative juices flowing and flex those DM muscles. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm your host for this session, DM Mambo, or Sam.
I am David. I'm going to be rolling for our themes today.
And I'm Malcolm. I'm going to be rolling for scenarios.
And to start this bad boy off, I figured I'd ask you guys a little question. Get our juices blowing, like I said in the intro. Get some talking going. What is the most creative character build you've seen, or character ideas or inspiration you've seen lately? For me, I saw on Twitter, I think yesterday or maybe this morning, where it was a paladin is only in the party to be the parole officer for the rogue. And I just thought that was really funny, especially to work with like a friend or someone you may know who wants to be a rogue and just be like, hey, can I be the paladin who's supposed to keep you in line? And just like your parole officer. And I think that would be so funny. And it gave me a whole bunch of ideas. So yeah, that's kind of what I had going on. Kind of what I had thought. Malcolm, how about you?
For me, I would have to say I always like the concept for a character being that, like, someone did one of... Okay, so one of them was that, because I made a bunch of characters that I have not gotten to use yet, one of them was a warlock who became a warlock because there was, like, a town siege, and he was like, no, I need, like, devil-level powers to start handling these problems. They are not... I'm not leveled for this. Like, it was a person who acknowledged, like, I'm really strong. I can fight normal people. But now it's, like, monsters and things. I can't do that. So I thought that would be really fun. If we're talking ones that we've seen, though, and not ones that we came up with ourselves, it's going to be a while ago now when this comes out. But I want to make sure that I get the name right here. But Anna Brisbane came up with a great idea for a barbarian that I just never thought of, where she basically made her character Venom, and when she was enraged, it was the symbiote kind of suit.
That's really cool.
Going around them and then attacking, and I was like, that's a great idea. I love that. Yeah. I would like
that's awesome.
using classes to make characters a certain way, that's something that I really appreciate. So that's always really cool to see. What about you, David?
My favorite build that I've ever seen comes from D&D 3.5, where there were just tons and tons of options. And it combines three things that are just, on their own, they're kind of like cool character abilities. Together, they're hilarious. The first is, there was a class, it was kind of like the Battlemaster Fighter, where you got like special abilities as a melee character, but all of these abilities, you could like pick a theme. One of the themes relied on concentration checks, kind of like what a spellcaster would do, is you're focusing so hard that you're able to do stuff, and you replace your other roles with concentration. So you could concentrate really hard and damage someone, or concentrate really hard and avoid damage from like a fireball in place of a reflex save. There's a spell in the game that lets you do performance instead of concentration. So if you combine those, you get to do performance to do everything else. So you create the Lord of the Dance. You have a pair of shoes enchanted with this magic that turns all of your performance into all of your concentration checks into performance checks. And then all of your concentration, which are now performance, do other things that your roles would do. So you dance to do the damage of a fireball, or a dragon breathes a line of acid at you, and you just moonwalk out of the way, and it's just hilarious.
I love this concept.
All your character does is dance, but they're just as effective at every other form of anything that the rest of the party is.
I want to see the lore of the dance in action now. I want this.
Oh, that's great. That's really fun. Lord of the Dance. I just think of like, was it river dancing too? Just like, you know, tapping or...
But it could be any kind of performance. Just that's what the original build was. But you could be like a flautist with your flute and you're damaging people and the power of your music lets you dodge fireballs.
an alternate universe version of my favorite character. But yeah, I love that, you know. Rolling out of the way of trouble here and there, moving real quick. And speaking of rolls, David, shall we roll?
Let's do it!
Alrighty, I am rolling for scenarios. I'm using my dice here that are the ones that I found on the floor a couple weeks ago. And I have not... my room's a mess, so I don't know where my other dice are right now. So floor dice it is.
I'm rolling with a black to red heat sensitive dice.
Nice. Ooh. And for those who don't know what's going on, if you're new to the podcast, like I said in the intro, David and Malcolm are rolling on our themes and scenarios tables to help us decide what we're going to plan for you guys today. And I'm very excited because it looks like Malcolm rolled a 2.
Yeah.
And I rolled a 20.
And a nat 20. Look at that. We have a show off today, folks.
You did it right. So a theme of 20 and a scenario of 2.
Oh, this is hilarious.
All right. So today's theme is brought to us by Whirlycan, and it's Lego World. And today's scenario brought to us by our lovely Ren is Archive of Cursed Items.
It's basically Cabin in the Woods is what he clarified there. Or what they clarified there.
Cabin. I've never seen Cabin in the Woods, so...
I have. It's my favorite horror movie. Let me loose when you're ready.
I think... Weren't you just tweeting about this, Malcolm?
Yeah.
Like, waiting to do this one?
I was like, oh, it's on the list. And I was like, and I'm ready. I am ready. I did not expect Lego, but Lego is parody and humor. So if we bring parody and humor to Cabin in the Woods, which is already a self-aware horror movie, let's go. Oh, yeah, this is going to be nice.
All right, well, let's just open up our discussions with you, Malcolm, then, because you seem pumped and ready to go, and we will try our hardest to follow up.
Yeah, again, anytime there's horror stuff on the list, guys, you know I'm going to kind of go a little crazy. But Cabin in the Woods, okay. Base structure you need to understand. Cabin in the Woods is essentially every horror movie ever. That's the point. It's supposed to go through a ritual. Also, spoilers for Cabin in the Woods. It's going to go through a ritual in which different characters die, and ultimately, the last character, the final girl, I'll say, to keep it a bit more PG-13, the final girl is fine. Final girl, final guy, the last standing, like, hero character, one can live, basically. And if more than one lives, end of the world. Lego, what do we know about it? It's parody, it's funny, it pokes fun at every genre it has access to. And now, we have Lego horror. So, what do we think of that? I don't have a lot of ideas for it, I just wanted to make sure that the record was set straight and the rules were kind of set for it. Because Cabin in the Woods, we gotta do... Oh, also... Cabin in the Woods, you choose your own death. You ultimately end up in the cabin. The cabin has very different objects in it. And then you pick an object. If you touch an object, it will access the story telling you which horror movie you're in. So if you touch like a spear inside of the thing, it's like, well, now you're going to have to face killer mermen. And if you touch like a chainsaw, then it's like, oh, well, guess what? Leatherface is coming to get you. Like it's that kind of thing. So
okay,
that's how Cabin in the Woods works.
I don't think we could kill off our players. So unless it's a one shot, I think you might have to scrap the idea of only one person remaining. But I like the fact what I picked up is I really liked the idea of picking an item in there. So even if maybe they know it's cursed, maybe they don't know it's cursed, but they pick up an item and then they have to go through trials to achieve this item. But to combine that with Legos, what if you can put different items together? So like say you have the cursed trident and a cursed crossbow. maybe you can fuse those together so you have a crossbow that shoots out the trident, and then the trident just magically reappears back in the crossbow, and you just keep going that way. So you have to now do more than one quest or more than one challenge to do it, and then maybe to get out of it, you have to beat the final boss guy, who could be someone like the Saw movies type character, so, Jigsaw.
Yes.
So just to preference this, I hate scary movies and horror movies. So I have literally no idea. Sorry for all your horror fans. I don't get pleasure from being scared. Jump scares are the easiest thing for me.
Ironic. A lot of people hate those even more. But
I do. So I hate those.
Okay. So those are the worst. Okay, good. But allow me to bring this to a less horrible place then. Taking the concept of not death, but instead that idea of summoning your own villain. And I like the idea of combining things like the Lego to make, I think it'd be interesting if you combined then what you have set stories, you know, like, or even set worlds or set villains from set worlds, because that's a Lego thing too, to have all the different worlds. And then you just have it be one item from each world or whatever. Another big multiversal thing. Sorry for those who don't like how big we take some of these stories, but you can, you know, adjust. But you take these items, you put them together, and maybe that combines the monster or the thing coming after you. Instead now of just having the merman with the trident, now you put that inside of a spear gun, and then now all of a sudden it's a merman who's a fisherman still could be a merman, but you know, like one of the Jason Voorhees kind of stalking the forest type people now, and that's a merman doing that. And you have like these weird mashups of characters that you've ultimately created to come after you. Kind of like a build your own villain type situation. Not dissimilar to the Build-A-Bear episode that Rich and Cam did, or Rich and Adam, I think it was.
Yeah, I like just like, you know, Legos, the movies at least, are great at pulling in references and making fun of what's going on. They're very self-aware. So I think you can definitely make this a very self-aware session. any cursed item that they touch, or any bad guy they have to fight to get the cursed item, make it very self-aware of like, I didn't know you'd be here today, or, you know, very much of, you know, hey, don't touch me there. You know, make the jokes, make the fun, but then, you know, smash them with, maybe one of the encounters is that they touch something, and then I'm trying to think of what it could be. It could be like a magical axe that's very much like a chainsaw, except for like axe heads go like around in a magical circle or something like that. And when they touch it, they're transported into like a dark woods. You know, you see the cabin house there, and you hear a fully prepared carriage coach, and you have to find a place to hide. And it's like the obvious place is to get into the carriage coach and run off as fast as possible. But then you're like, well, actually, there's a nice hiding spot behind a row of these chainsaws that you see. And you can hide behind there, or you can hide behind, you know, you see one girl there, or, you know, someone who's like not the smartest person. You're like, yo, and they're telling you to go hide under a bed. And you can use like all the tropes of finding those things of what makes a horror movie. So just those typical, why did we separate? Why are we separating right now? Like, why did we leave each other's safety? And then it's of like, funny. Why are we hiding in this ridiculously obvious place? Like, someone's going to die. Keep putting them in those positions and having them work their way out through it.
It's funny that you don't like horror movies, because I swear you are describing exactly what Cabin in the Woods is.
I watched that one Geico commercial.
Yes.
Where.
But yeah, that's the whole point of Cabin in the Woods, is the fact that it's like, this is exactly how everything always goes. Everything always turns out that these people, there's people who go alone off on their own to do different stuff. There's people who have like a big fight for no reason. There's one who's always a bit of a jock and different things. I think that's really interesting. David, I want to hear some thoughts from you.
So I don't want to pull away too much, but my first kind of thought when hearing these two combined is basically, your party kind of finds a cabin in the woods, just kind of normal structure. And again, it's like just a family that lives out there, and their kid is a little bit weird. And you're told, don't go down into the basement. And of course you do, because reasons. And down there, you find this world. If it's modern day, Legos make perfect sense, where it's just this beautifully created landscape of Lego that the child's made. And you, like, go and touch something, and that pisses them off. And basically, they control everything that's in the Lego world, and they're not exactly, like, a normal kid. So whatever you messed with, either you get put into this Lego world, and you have to kind of deal with what's going on around you, eventually getting out and kind of either avoiding the kid, helping them, whatever. But that also will account because you're going to be like a Lego piece at that point that he'll be able to mess with. And so it'll cause you to take actions that you might not otherwise when he's paying close attention to the, like, Lego area.
I like that. Lego Annabelle.
I was going to say in the vein of the Lego movie, because that's a Lego movie, the first one, yeah. At least. The second one, let's not talk about the second one. The first one has that kind of feeling of different things are being affected, but not in a way that feels like the world itself isn't reacting to you. It's people make decisions and you're like, okay. And then when you realize at the end, spoilers for the Lego movie, that it's a kid just playing, you're like, oh, that also makes a lot of sense. But having that kind of, again, that dual play style and having it be that, like, oh, you put these pieces in and now this happens because a kid would think that's cool. You have the fun part, again, is always anytime you involve a kid or another person who doesn't want to play by your rules, is that you can have that kind of, if you wanted to bring horror into Lego, which again would be funny, you have like the people who get like, oh, we attack him, we stab him, and it's like, well, nuh-uh, that doesn't do any damage, he's fine, he's coming towards you still, and you're like, what? We chop off his head, nuh-uh, he's completely fine, he puts it back on.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think that's where we should go, is being inside this Lego world with all these different horror tropes. And then if you're in, you know, a very strict D&D realm, easy fix, fantasy Legos. Right there.
I was going to say, this being is not from this world, clearly. He has the power to throw you into a different world. You're telling me the Legos are the part that you can't deal with?
Oh,
I mean, magic is magic in D&D, so, like, there's definitely...
They always, in the Lego movies, have, like, jokes about people coming, like, you can cut a person in half in a Lego movie just because they can just reattach themselves, their Legos. So, when your party gets turned into these Lego minifigs, sure, they can still take damage and, like, almost die, but when they would die, you just put them back together and they're okay. And that could be a fun thing to explore, is your Lego players go around and are fighting, like, the merman from before, and they get, like, cut in half, and your party starts to really worry about it, and then you have an NPC Lego walk up and just stick them together, and they're like, they're okay now.
I really like this idea. To take it further, what if to, like, beat this boss, they have to start, you know, swapping parts with each other? So, say, one is really good at fighting, and he has the strength, but another character needs it, they can swap out arms and attach it, you know, so now the other person, they swap basically strength scores. And then I think what you could do is, if this is, you know, with experienced players and you have a lot of history, you can bring in all of those different villains that they have fought throughout, like, the whole campaign or past campaigns or just the history you have with your players. Bring all of those juicy fun parts in and throw them into your world. So, like, now your big boss is like, oh, and he's got the arm of Vecna on him, and he has, you know, the whatever of whoever, you know, just start bringing in all of those, like, so us, we could do the Rakasha, you know, bring him back, and zombies from Candyland, bring those in, and I think that'd be really fun.
I think that, I like where you're going with that, and I wanted to change up a little bit of what we set up earlier, because a kid's interesting, but a fan is terrifying. You put this guy who's like this obsessed person with the party, who has not told you that he's obsessed with, you have like the parents go like, oh, we know who you are, come on in, yeah, and it's like, yeah, we're here to, if you, like, after your party's really exhausted, they got through a big fight or something, this cabin appears. They go to the cabin, and there's these, like, really nice people, and they're like, oh, yeah, come in, have a... Or it's like, no, and they're like, just, Thomas is downstairs. He told us all about you. He loves you. He thinks you're so great. He heard about all your, like, big trials and stuff. And so he's got all these, like, action, like, a Lego set that he's made of all of your things. And then when you guys touch anything from him, he's like, oh, no, don't do that. He's like, now you're part of the collection. And he, like, puts you into the Lego world to keep you there.
I like that a lot.
This multi-dimensional creepy being that just has been watching all of your adventures.
Yeah, that's great. You can call him like the collector or something like that. Or maybe an acronym for Lego. So like he has a really long four-part name and you can just, you know, put it together. His name is Lego. I think that could be fun. I really like that idea of him going through and collecting all the most powerful beings to add to his collection. And so that's why when you're in his cabin and you see, oh, wow, this is the dragon we beat way back when. And holy cow, is this the guy from our previous campaign? Yeah, I like that.
And you could do like a recap parody of what you've been through. Be like, oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, big dragon. We got to fight it. And it's like, what happened when we did it last time? It's like, well, he did this. And so you guys like run through it. And once you do the one thing, since that's the only part he heard of, he was like, oh, yeah, that's when the dragon dies. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I think this would be a fun one shot, but it would also be really fun if your party gets kind of full of themselves and like want renown. You can just have this show up where it's like, yeah, I've heard all of your stories. And you also get to throw in the trope of don't meet your heroes. Because as the kid realizes that your party is not these icons he's been looking up to, he realizes, well, you're better as action figures because you're better in my head there. And so he drops you into this Lego world.
I love this. This is going places. Okay, but I don't want to lose the archive also, the archive of the magical thing. So how are we going to affect that within the Lego world? Are we going to have it be the thing that they touch initially and that's the world they're sent to, or that's the adventure they're recapping? Like, so you have all the, so this should go on later.
I think the cabin itself is the archive. And I think once they stumble upon it and open it up, once they close that door behind them, that's now they're in the realm of, like, you know, the Lego realm. But you see, as you go through the cabin, you see all of these mementos throughout it. So, like, you know, think of it very much as like a haunted museum. You see the doll in the glass case. You see Vecna's hand, you know, like above a door frame clawing down. You see all of these like very stereotypical things you would see, like, you know, very much in the Ripley's Museum, believe it or not, type thing. I think that's what you go for. So you take all of this lore from D&D or past campaigns and you throw it in here. And so when they touch something, that starts a different encounter until you see the boy who lives here and you start talking about, you know, you can get him like being in there creepy or however you want him to be.
Extra friendly.
I love that a lot. I just wanted to add on to that. Maybe it's not just like random items. Like there could be some that your party's encountered, but I think it would be cool if the mementos are like things from your travels. That as the kid has gathered them, maybe whatever it is that gives him the power to turn you into Legos has kind of also been channeled through these mementos, and they're becoming cursed by that. So the different areas in the Lego world that are near the mementos are able to, like, gain the power from it and, like, come to life, and that's what you have to deal with when you're in there. So, like, when you fought a dragon, you didn't use all of the dragon. You have, like, a dragon tooth that this kid was able to pick up, and he brings it back, and that tooth is what powers the dragon Lego sculpture that he made that you now have to deal with in Lego world.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like really all of these things are, like, made from, like, oh, yeah, I really like that. And there's one piece that's not so... If you're doing, you know, Vecna and such, you know, maybe you've defeated him before, but now when you go in, you see, you know, a life-size... remodeling of his hand, but maybe like one fingernail is real. Or if you beat that beholder, you know, the main body is all Legos except for maybe one eye stock, which is one you left, or even a broken arrow you left inside the corpse of a fallen beast. I think that's really cool, seeing all the reenactions, but different things that they maybe have missed or may have caused. So maybe if they help one kingdom and they accidentally destroy another in the process, I think that's perfect. I think that's great. Yeah.
I agree. I was going to take... So, this is not to detract from this. I just wanted to establish it as its own thing. Was the idea of the the items and pieces being the like part of the legends that he's heard of the characters. So it's like, oh, I built a recreation of the shoe that you were wearing when you fought that dragon.
Yeah.
And how swift you were with that. And so he really believes that, like, you know, if you wear these shoes, you're really, really fast. And then, like, once he meets you, he's like, oh, and it kind of either changes it to be a problem with the shoe, giving it that cursed status. Like, it was a magical item. Now it's a cursed magical item. Once again, he meets the person who was like, oh, you're not that way at all. And so it's kind of that that addition that adds on to kind of destroy the thing that was a really powerful magical item that he had created. Ooh, like a crafter of sorts? We could have this guy be like a artificer who's like making all these things. And plus, artificers make a ton of stuff anyway.
Basically, we're making Syndrome from from The Incredibles. Syndrome, the guy who, that's great.
See, that's I told really you we funny. Could get around a horror angle somehow. I really like the idea of, this person who's just, like, obsessed with your party going, like, you're great, I've been dying to meet you, and then it's like, okay, cool. Like, maybe it's another thing also, because I'm always a big fan of encounters that you can't really avoid to an extent. Not a big fan, but a fan. Where it's like, everything's fine until you try to leave, and then once you leave, he's like, no, I finally have you. You don't get to go anywhere. No.
The collection's complete.
Yes, exactly. I love that. It's a perfect line.
So where do we want this character to be getting their power from? Like, I maybe it's like while they're going out and finding these pieces from the stories you're in, maybe they find something that is cursed that kind of, maybe there's like a ghost of some kind or a spirit that's kind of channeling, but they have to channel through the kid, and that's how they are gaining these powers.
You mean you don't want a ghost psychic kid like the guy from Mass Effect 3?
It could be, yeah.
That was a joke for those who have played Mass Effect 3. I hate that child so much. Don't worry, he's not real. I was thinking like something otherworldly almost that stumbles upon the party and has like such an interest in them. So something either not from around here, something from a different dimension, something from a different world even. That was my thought. What are you thinking, Sam?
Yeah, I like that. I just think maybe he's a demon, you know, the kid, but he's becoming like a fanboy of your party. He's like, oh, or maybe it's the son of a demon you slayed early on. You know, and he's like, oh my gosh, you beat my dad up. He's never been beat up like that. That's so cool. I want to be just like you guys. And, you know, hanging out with him, he's like, you know, it's like, oh, remember? And then he goes over to his Lego collection. Remember, you guys remember when you beat the dragon? And look, and like it almost killed you and you turned to like one of your players. It almost killed you. But then, you know, this guy, you know, he definitely healed you. But look, you forgot to bring this tooth in. And, you know, he puts the tooth in and then the dragon becomes comes alive. And everything he touches is cursed because, one, he's a demon or a devil. And, you know, automatically they are associated with that. And it's just this big fanboy that is trying to, you know, connect with your party, but is almost killing them throughout the whole thing. And they just keep getting put into these scenarios of horror films, you know? So escaping the person, it reminds me very much of Scary Terry, you know, whenever you sleep, you know, who's based off of Freddy Krueger. Yeah. So I think you should just start using those. You have the Jason, you know, trope as well, you know, the silent guy and like, okay, you know, they run out of the cabin and they're trying to run away and they stop running and they look behind him and he's like just walking very slowly there. And no matter how far they run, they end up back in like front of the cabin house. But, you know, the Jason guy is still right there. And it's just like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get away from this? And every time they go fight him, they beat him. But, you know, he's a Lego. So, you know, he takes a turn or two to go pick up his head, put it back on, and the chase commences again. So they start getting levels of exhaustion. But I really like the idea of like it being a little boy, super excited to meet its heroes, and then ultimately being like, wow, you guys don't know what you're doing at all.
Can I? Because this was the thing that I had a bit of a thought on. I don't like it being a little boy. I don't like it being a young child because Ultimately, then, your party at some way or form has to beat a young child, and I don't like that for this one, only because it also prevents, you know, I get it's Legos, well, so we're going for fun mostly, but it prevents, like, a darker tone.
They don't have to fight him.
But you kind of do.
No, it could just be the biggest creation, you know? It's just a big creation of all of their past adventures or different random monsters and such from the world. And it's just them being able to escape from this scenario. They don't even have to really interact with him based on the fact that he's there for a second. And all of a sudden, when they make him mad, he disappears and now becomes, you know, the haunted, you know, cabin. So they're basically destroying the things that they've worked so hard doing.
They don't need to
kind of where I was going.
Defeat the child, per se. They need to save the child. If that's
kind of
saving it from themselves, which is just like showing them that you shouldn't like hyperfixate on heroes because they're not what you imagine them to be. Or if you have to save the kid from like a cursed object or a foe that you defeated before that wasn't all the way dead.
I have an idea. What if it's a Lego version of your party and they act as the monsters of like the horror movie trope? So it is like you have your rogue and he is the Jason. He is the quiet, tall. He's the quiet one who's just appearing and just attacking people. And you're like, oh no. Like it's because this child has lost faith in you. So you have to prove to him that it's like, no, we're not like that. We're not like that. No, you're also wrong there. It's not one way or the other. We are complex individuals. And having it that way.
I mean, if we want, we could go kind of also like the Sabrina in Pokemon, where she turns them into dolls to play with. And so in order to escape, they had to have her rely on her, you know, believe in herself again. So they have to go through, you know, these big scary thoughts and such of this child. Basically, enabling them to help them, and in doing so, they get the item they're looking for.
Reminder, I stopped watching Pokemon after the first movie because I thought that TV series made enough money to get into movies, and then they were done. So I thought there was no more Pokemon after that as a child. Don't come after me for this. This is just straight fact.
I mean, I think it was before the movie. It was the fourth gym, so I could be wrong, but...
So, this just gave me a separate idea, and we can scrap this, but what if instead of it being, like, a kid who has this, it's whoever, like, your big bad guy for the campaign is, they're kind of watching you kick their forces' asses, so they've been gathering this, and they make this Lego world as, like, a training simulator for their mooks. So your party is in there, they are the horror murderers, because that's what the bad guys see your party as. And so you end up in here just like as you're exploring the like whatever the big headquarters is, and you see how the enemy sees you. So the rogue is this terrifying thing that just sneaks out of the shadows. The wizard is this thing that's like perpetual demon of fire that's burning everything down to get to you. And you get to really play up on how intimidating your characters have been in combat with the people they've kind of ruthlessly been thwarting.
I love it. Yep, it took us 40 minutes, but I think this is what we should go with.
Well, the fun part about this one is you could also stack it onto the other stuff. If you want to humanize your villain a little more, put him in the cabin in the woods, have it still be his parents, and then just have him like, oh, he left his stuff downstairs. He's a big fan of you. And then them completely misunderstand why he collects all the stuff. It's like, oh yeah, he has all your stuff. He's such a, like, I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie My Super Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I think it was. It's, there's a part at the end where, spoilers for that, the villain is just like a guy who had a crush on her the whole time, and he's like, yeah, you didn't pay attention to me, and so I have all your stuff. I was a big fan. It was just so sad. So that would be, and that works with the Lego idea of like throwing in the humor of like, hey, like, yeah, you're in this horrific scenario, but the tropes and different things about it are like, wait a minute, he even knows that the barbarian like always punches a tree first for intimidate. That's attention to detail right there. That's respectable. Like,
yeah, I think I just love that. And I think you could even give your, this is like so an option for you, DM, is if you want to give your players a little bit more of a understanding of how powerful they are. Give them like a commoner's or a cultist's stat block from the DMG, or, you know, give them a kobold or whatever, you know, the typical minions that you're using. Give them those stat sheets. It's like, oh, by the way, in here, these are your stats. So then they, and then you take their stats and you start playing their characters, and you just, you know, this is very good for also characters who may not understand like the power they actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Too. So if you start showing them, remember how you said this character sucks? Well, this is how we can help you figure out how to do it without being like, you're doing this wrong, dude. Why aren't you playing your character right? Side note, there is no proper way to play a character. I'm just, you know.
No, just not utilizing all of your abilities like I did with my cleric for a few levels because I didn't know she got additional spells on what she had. So I was like, oh. And they're like, you haven't been using like five spells? And I was like, I didn't know I could pick five more spells. So
yeah, and I think this is very... I think that I love this idea, because then the way to get out is they have to defeat themselves with not really maybe knowing that they're fighting themselves. So you can make them these large looming figures. I love the rogue just all of a sudden coming out of the shadows and being telling your player, you take, you know, 25 piercing damage, and they're like, what?
And because, like, this whole thing is created because it's a training scenario, that's why the, like, being able to put yourself back together as Legos is important, because you're in there to learn, not to actually succeed.
Okay.
I like this.
Yeah, I do too. So what happens when does the BBEG find out that they're in the simulation?
If you want to kick it up a notch, then I would say yes. If you want to kick it up a notch and have it be like, and that, like, your party's like, well, this is cool, but it's not really like a big thing that's going to tie into anything. That's when you have the BBEG go home and go like, hey, who's been playing with, oh, you're here. And then, like, you're in trouble. If you want to have it be just like a fun one shot, good times, maybe your players are tired of you making just a solely evil bad guy, and you're like, let's humanize him and have him be like a chill dude for a second. And when you get, you could have it just be that he comes home and he's like, oh, hey, you guys are in there. And it's like, no, if I want to beat you, I want to beat you in person. Get out of my house.
He walks in. Who's been playing with my armos?
I feel like, I really like the idea of this being a humanizing one for the villain, in case that has not been clear by the amount of times as I've said it. I think that it really has a chance to be something where you see, like, even this guy gets all his friends over to, like, you know, not play D&D, but like, all right, let's figure out what they're going to do. Every time they beat us, what do we do? What can we do?
Yeah, yeah. You know, get the, get your typical henchmen, the guys you typically fight against. I just, you know, for so long, it's been goblins and kobolds, but it could be whatever. It could be the commoner stats. He's recruiting new recruits for his next, you know, big onslaught. So maybe it's soldiers he's training to fight and such.
Necromancer and his army of the dead. No, you have to make sure.
It could be a fun starter for your campaign where you go in and you fight these four and move, like, you know, choose like whatever your characters want to play. You know, you have to put them in there and find out what they could be. So I'm thinking Rogue would be very much Freddy Krueger, or Jason, you know, always there, always lurking in the shadows, always finding its way.
The big dumb barbarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A big dumb barbarian. I don't know what he could be.
Jason again. Jason works as both.
And this could be, rather than like just accidentally finding this, maybe your party starts to realize the enemies are getting a lot smarter, and they find out, oh, there's a training simulation, and you need to go in and break the simulation so they're no longer super skilled at fighting you.
Yeah.
That's going to be so funny and so sad when the BBEG comes in, or maybe it's the vice guy in charge. Maybe you don't want to have it be your big bad evil guy, because you don't want to make it that your whole party's like, we saw that guy cry, but you have this guy come in, he's like, no, my son, I work so hard.
Yeah, and I think either the simulation, or not the simulation, the simulation itself is either the cursed item, or you have a whole bunch of cursed items that they're practicing on using on you.
I like that. I like the second one.
So you go in and you see all of these different items there, and you can mash them together because it is like Lego world. You go in and you're brought to the normal stats of a rookie henchman, and you get like you hear like the voiceover rundown of you'll be attacked, blah blah blah. Get ready, test this item, check this out, and that's when they start going. And then you can have like a D20 list of cursed items that you can write down beforehand. That's how you would prep for this one is. Put every curse item you want inside of this cabin there. And then you can start, when they're looking it over, you know, maybe make four or five rooms they can go and search out, you know, the living room, kitchen, upstairs. If you want to keep it into a cabin style, it could be a test center as well, you know, where they have to check out different weapons. They go in, maybe there's a henchman in the front who's like, ah, back again for training. New recruits, eh? We need this rod of teleportation checked out for us, or the bracers of a drunkard needs to be looked at. And you go and you're like, all right, well, let me slap this one on. And you can give them a sheet of a sheet of all the possible cursed items they can try. And they're cursed, so you know they have different curses to them. You know, so when they're trying them out, they're like, ah, yes, you died really quickly on this run because this curse item is really bad. We'll work on this one. We got to fix this guy. And that's like, you know, that's the run up of like the Lego part of they're tweaking and they're putting your characters back together after they're dead. But you're fighting you the whole time. So maybe if you have a player who always casts Fireball, no matter what, that's when you're like, oh, this guy keeps only casting Fireball. Let's see what we can do with that and try to beat that one.
Again, I repeat, it is so funny you have not seen Cabin in the Woods, because let's just say a facility beneath the cabin might be an interesting way to take the story. I definitely agree that would be a really fun thing to have down there. Again, the idea of there being like a misleading cover, and then maybe that's the thing too, you can't find the big bad guy's evil lair, and he or she is like, oh... Or your party goes, oh, we can't, it's this cabin. And you go like, I don't get it. And it's like, no, go. And the people who run the cabin are like, oh, you're here for the training? Why don't you go down to the basement? And it's like, okay. You get down to the basement and then down into the basement's basement. And that's a whole facility. You're like, oh, this is the dungeon crawl. And you get through there. And that's where you can reach the point. If you wanted to take it apart and have it be the simulation is somewhere a specific room. You can have a dungeon before that, or if you want it to just be the basement. Basement is the simulation room. That also works. But I'm trying to throw some ways to put some more dungeons in your Dungeons and Dragons games because we don't often cover those.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. giving all of your players a chance to explore these different cursed items, and then if they. It could be where they finish the simulation, they defeat the guy, they're like, yes, and maybe who's ever running the place knows it's actually the characters, and now they get more data on you of like, oh, this is how they would defeat themselves. Got it. Let's say this to the boss. And then they get to leave each of them get to leave with a cursed item, which could be then a tracking item for the BBEG, who is, you know... They think they've pulled one over on him, but he's like, ha ha, now I know where they're doing and I can scry on them very easily.
I know that you know that I know.
but you don't know that I know that you know that I know.
Reminds me, I was watching, someone did a Dungeons and Dragons, what was it, DC Comics one, and they had two Batman fighting. It's like, I prep for your prep that I prep that you prep for. And I was like, yeah, just having that kind of dynamic with your villain would be great. I love it.
Yeah, I think we're at the time to wrap up. I know it's like a little early, but I think this one kind of has summed it up itself. So...
I like this one a lot. I think that it's going to be... I think it's going to be really, really fun to play. And again, it's we've shown some different paths. It's really adjustable, so I think it's going to be really, really cool. Yeah. You guys want to head to the recap and synopsis?
Let's recap it. I have the recap today, friends. So what we kind of did was there's like two possible adventures in here. One is you have a super fan little kid who has magical powers, either being a devil or a demon son or daughter, whatever, or just, you know, from a different planet or dimension and just really loves the party. So it's been gathering all of it, all of their like past adventures, you know, really crafting and remodeling their adventures into these cursed Lego creations. And they, the kid somehow gets them to come to their lair, cabin in the woods, what have you. And when they do, it presents your players with a unique experience of one, seeing a mega fan, and two, extremely letting that mega fan down, and then having to battle their past conquests in order to justify and save the kid from, you know, like, look, we're people too, we make mistakes. Please don't put this much pressure on us and whatever. But number two, the one that we really liked, is you are in a simulator fighting yourselves in order that the big bad has created in order to help their minions fight you in person. After, you know, years upon years of being beat and plans foiled one after another, they finally learned their lesson and they are trying to make stronger and smarter hench people. So they set this up. You come in there, you find it. Your plan is either to destroy it or, you know, maybe you're just trying to get information yourself, and you get to go through and fight yourself as the minions or hench people view you. So the point of the point of view of the minions, you are fighting yourselves as these horror tropes. And yeah, and you get to leave with a cursed item.
Very nice.
That may or may not track you.
May or may not track you. I hope my rambling has given you enough time, David, for the synopsis. If not,
yes, it has.
I'm sure I can keep going. Okay, good.
A beautiful rambling, by the way, Sam. We love it here.
I prattled my way through that.
You have finally done it. That monstrosity followed you from one end of this small world to the other. Its bulk pushing through walls, doors, any barrier between you. But you were smart enough. You caused it to knock down a wall that was load-bearing. The wall crushed that barbarian. You finally figured out how to defeat it. As you sit there, exhausted, breathing heavily, you hear one of your party members go, "What's this?" You look over to tell them to stop, but it's too late. They've already picked up a book from the ground with a cross on it. White light fills the building, and the barbarian stands again as a heavily armored cleric steps up next to him, and the two begin making their way towards your party. What do you do?
Very nice, David. I like this one. This one's interesting.
We say that every time.
Well, this one, I don't always say they're interesting. I always like them. Well, except for that one specific one. Get us to 1,000 followers and we'll tell you what it is. But yeah, this one has like a lot of potential to go a lot of different places. So you could do so much with it. I think it's best done when you have had the party for a while. Mm-hmm. I know you said you could start it out there, Sam, but I think having a party that is known and established gives you the real effect of like your actions had consequences and here's proof for the child mechanic, or this guy really had to plan to defeat you because you've beaten him so many times. Mm-hmm. Or this could even be a way to show that the big bad's been behind multiple events. If you like have all the different sets of different things, he's like, "We failed here. Why did that happen? We failed here. Why did that happen?" And kind of goes down that way. Again, I'm adding on stuff after the ending.
It's good though. I like it.
Yeah, this one is definitely fun, and I like how you said that, Malcolm. You could have some of the cursed items they could see are ones that they've seen the big bad use itself before, or different enemies. Hench people have used against them before, and you know, there's like a big X crossed through this one, and notes like, "This one didn't work because they learned how to use Misty Step," you know.
Mm-hmm. Be interesting to do like things by level too, like he tracks them as they go through. That'd be kind of fun. Is there any other ideas we want to throw at this thing now that the show's over? Apparently this is after credits. I don't know what's happening.
After the gaps were filled.
Okay, but yeah, seriously, any more ideas, guys, before we close out, or?
I don't think so. This can just go so many ways, and it's really based on your party, how you want to play with them.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I think what I did in the synopsis, I think it's really fun to throw, like, because it's hard to die in D&D sometimes because of healing. So having your characters have to face that where your barbarian just gets healed right back up. It's really fun that you could just put right back on them.
It's going to be, for those who play, it's going to be probably really different from the other types of D&D games that we've suggested. So it's what we aim for, right? So anyway, hey guys, thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Limby off of their album Drive. If you like it, you can always listen to them at limby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. If you want to listen more to us, we have other episodes too, and that's awesome. Make sure to write us at FitGDND, which is our Twitter handle, or where you can find our Discord server as well. The show is edited by our audio gremlin, Andrew Brown, and you can follow them at XNubinator with O's, with zeros, not O's, 912X. And lastly, we're an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast, and that means we're part of the Obtuse Audio Studios family. So make sure to listen to us at obtuseaudio.com or wherever you get your podcast, and leave us a 5-star review wherever you can. That's not just Apple iTunes, everywhere. Go to a restaurant. Give us a 5-star review there. Everywhere. I have been Malcolm, your apparently very silly scenario host this time.
I have been David. I was on themes.
And I am DM Mambo or Sam, and I was your intro captain, your recap guy, and you can find me on Twitter at DM Mambo5 or at bip.dnd, also on Twitter.
I'm David. Like I said, you can find me at Daedra18, that is Daedra18.
And for anyone who cares, I'm at the Ruler of Rhyme, but follow at FitGDND instead. Cool, thanks.
Bye!
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today.